where to go. And I do believe that 144,000. I think that these 2 years, for 2 years we've been saying we're going to get into the book of Revelation. But I think everything leading up to it is preparing us to actually get into the book of Revelation. So when we get into it, these things are already been studied.
Yeah. And even Revelation, all that means is the revealing of Jesus Christ.
That's what apocalypse means.
Apocalypse.
Does not mean destruction of the world.
No.
It means the revelation of Jesus Christ.
The knowing and the coming of God and his power and his might. And the whole book, right, is written about him.
That's right.
From the Genesis all the way through the revelation of Christ that's written down. Every line, every person.
Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written in me. That's what the gospel is. It's from Genesis to Revelation. It's not just the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what they'll tell you the gospel is when you talk to dispensationalists. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does surround the death, burial, and resurrection, but the gospel is also the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
Is also everything in between, how we live our lives. That's the gospel from Genesis to Revelation. That's the good news. Man has sinned, and God has dispensed grace on him.
Right. He built a covenant.
That's right.
You know, for us to walk in the statutes and the righteousness, of God.
So we were looking at the, turn to Daniel 7. We were looking at the 144,000. We were looking at numbers, right? We were looking at the number 1,000. That led into the number 10,000, which I believe before last week, I believe I learned something there that 10,000 does not just mean 10,000.
Yeah.
It's a number there that means an everlasting covenant. And we looked at the number 10,000 last week, and one of the things we left out was Daniel chapter 7, which to me leads where I believe God wants this study to go. Curtis was preaching on the kingdom being within you. Mm-hmm. And I believe I'm going to pick it up from there, because a lot of things come out about the kingdom, but I don't think we've ever actually really looked at the word kingdom.
No.
So I think we're going to study it. You know, I don't think I need to go where Curtis went, where you need to have it in here. We're going to look at what the Bible says, and we're going to let the Bible speak on what it is, where it is, are we going to it, is it coming here? And we're going to just gather a whole bunch of information on the kingdom. So if you look at Daniel 7, 9, look at 7, 9. And I beheld till thrones were cast down. You know what I want to do? I want to do a timeline here. You tell me where you would put these events. So here's the kingdom. I know Curtis will fix this up during the week. So there's the kingdom. Here's the seven-year thing that doesn't exist, right? So there's a seven-year thing. Here's a three-and-a-half that does exist of great tribulation. Here's the day of the Lord, right? And then here's the 1,000 years. So you tell them, let's do a tablet of where you would put these events. Because I do think that there are something to these things. Verse 9, 7, 9, and I beheld till thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair was head like unto pure wool. His throne is like a fiery flame, and his wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000, where am I?
Stood
before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were open. And I beheld till, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Who's the horn? The horn's the devil, right?
Oh, yeah.
The horn spake, and I beheld till the beast, who's the beast? The beast is the Antichrist, was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And concerning the rest of the beasts are devils. Mm-hmm. They had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. So where would you put this event right here? The 7 years before that doesn't exist? The 3.5 years before that? Would be before the Great Tribulation?
We're talking,
would you put it at the Second Coming, the Day of the Lord?
In the Revelation, we've talked about there's a time when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God. That's
mentioned
right here.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Again, the 10,000s, 10,000s, and 10,000s.
Right.
Right. That's mentioned again.
The beast is being destroyed.
Being destroyed, cast into the lake of fire before the 3.5 years.
That's right.
All right. So
on the day of the Lord.
On the
Yeah. This is Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Right. That's when they're defeated. Even the devils are defeated at Armageddon. And when did see 13? Well, let's break it down. When, like you just said in verse 9. We're just going to take our time here.
There you go.
Verse 9, right? When are thrones being cast down? Curtis, you just said it.
In the Revelation
11. The 11. Kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Well, that's Armageddon. Go ahead,
Al. What does the word beheld mean? I beheld till.
Yeah, you're seeing. You're seeing a vision.
I watched patiently until
this
happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, it says that the beast's body is destroyed.
Right.
And then it's tossed in the flames.
Yeah.
So there's got to be, like, some type of physical body, and then it's thrown in the lake of fire.
Well, and so a beast...
And it says the beast, like the other beasts,
mm-hmm.
it looks like it refers to them as rulers.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. And again, in Daniel, we're going to find that there are 10 kings, or 10 kingdoms.
So is this beast...
And
in a human body.
Okay, so look at, turn to Revelation 13. No, he's not. He's a beast. He's a devil. And what did Jesus, I'm just going to say, I think most of us believe this. What did Jesus call Judas Iscariot?
Son of perdition.
He called him a devil. Son of perdition. Because who is the father of perdition? The devil.
It is the devil. Yeah.
Well, but the devil can take on anybody.
Right.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Because it isn't...
Yeah, it isn't born again, set apart. Yeah.
And you see that. It said that, when Judas betrayed Christ, the devil entered him.
Right.
Right? So.
So what Lance is saying is
mm-hmm.
when the body's destroyed.
Right.
Then
but I think what's happening, Alan, is everyone's looking for Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
right.
Vladimir Putin,
or
to be the Antichrist, Barack Obama. He's a beast. Revelation 13. So this is the Antichrist. Look at Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his 10 horns crowns, and upon the heads of names of blasphemy. So this is the Antichrist, and he's called a beast. Daniel chapter 7 calls him the beast that we just read.
They give the same description. Leopard, bear,
dragon.
That's right.
Yeah.
So look at verse 11. Here's the false prophet. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, who had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So here you go. These are called beasts. They're not called men. They're called beasts. But look at Revelation 19, like Lance, you just brought it up. Look at Revelation 19. The last 20, now look at 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the throne, against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before. He deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his mark. Where am I?
You're right there.
I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
His image. These were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So these two don't even go to hell. They're going right to the lake of fire, which the lake of fire is what? The second death.
So when it says cast alive, I mean, is that with their body too?
Yes.
It would seem like that's what it's implying. Like if they're cast alive, then if they're not separated from their body, they're like the whole...
You know, you can be dead and alive, right? Everybody that's burning in hell, they're dead, right?
Right, but they're still alive.
But they're alive.
Luke chapter 16.
The body doesn't exist, though.
Not right now.
No, I mean in the lake of fire. It doesn't exist. It says, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame.
Right.
So it would be the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the person...
forever, right?
Yeah. The flesh... Okay. A good way to explain this to a smart person. You can't go by faith. You gotta go... there's a reality that you can't see in the physical. That, like, you see me in the flesh, but this isn't the real me.
Right.
This person that you see, this body, this animated clay ball, is going to die and turn back to dust. Okay? But the real me is going to live forever. And it'll either live forever in damnation or in the glory of God.
And there is a resurrection of damnation.
Yes.
There is they are resurrected. They are in a body that is made by God so they can suffer eternally.
Yeah, it's a spiritual body, right?
Well, John chapter 5 says there's a resurrection.
It's a physical body.
1 Corinthians says there are different types of body. There's celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. There's flesh of the fowl, flesh of the fish, you know, and flesh of man, flesh of beast, animals. They're all bodies, but they're all different bodies.
But they have a spirit, too. Just like we have a spirit, right?
Absolutely. We are spirit,
we have a body,
spirit, and soul,
spirit.
and we are waiting for our resurrected body. They are spirit. They have a soul. They have an unclean spirit. Their soul is their body, their spiritual body, and then they're going to have a resurrected body put on them that is made for damnation. It's John chapter 5. It's clear. Even Daniel 12 says the same thing. I think in Corinthians says that he makes two vessels.
Right.
You're the vessel.
Right.
One for honor,
one for dishonor.
One body is going to be, it's a physical, literal body, Lance, that they're going to have that's prepared for burning forever, to suffer forever. Our eternal body is
prepared
bliss,
for glory.
Paradise, and glory, right? What does glory mean? Perfection, celestial
and
beauty.
That body is ignited when the kingdom of God becomes, the seed
That's
of
right.
the kingdom of God becomes alive inside of the individual.
Right?
Glory could be God's understanding too, right? Like it seems
it
like
can
that
be.
Would be more than just power. It would be, like, everything goes back to, like, his way of doing things. So it would be his understanding as well.
Glory is perfection.
Right.
That's what glory is. It's perfection. It's here it is. Perfection, bright shining splendor, celestial bliss without error. So righteousness, right? So you would say righteous is perfection. But righteousness or righteous is perfect according to the law. That's what righteousness means, that's why I need Christ's righteousness on me. So when you talk to Hebrew roots people,
right.
The people that want to take you back into the law, that say, well, Gayla, you need to keep the feast, you know, to be right with God. I say, I do keep the law. His name is Jesus Christ. He's perfect. He was the perfect law.
And
he was righteous. He kept the law perfectly. So I keep Jesus Christ, therefore I keep the law. But to do these things that they want you to say, Yeshua, this is not how this works.
And remember, Christ is that big word called propitiation. That means the covering, right? He's my covering. So as Jesus kept the law perfectly, and I'm inside of him, that then causes his righteousness to be over me, my unrighteousness.
You know, I think Ezekiel 33 says about the man that trusts, or is it 3 or 33? I can't remember, about the person that trusts in his own righteousness.
Yes.
You know, although you walk with God, but you fall, though you trust in your
own
righteousness, you're going to burn in hell.
Right.
But the one that walked in the sin, and he trusted in the Lord, his righteousness. Christ puts his righteousness on you. So righteousness means righteousness means that you're perfect according to the law. Nobody's perfect according to the law.
So Adam and Eve would have been righteous, right? But they weren't. They weren't glory. It was God's glory till they sinned.
Yeah,
because God does make perfect creatures.
And he did, right? But he gave them the choice.
But that also reflects his glory.
So Lucifer was perfect until iniquity was found in him.
Right, and he reflected God's glory.
Well, I do think
it says that he was a slanderer from the beginning. So
I do think that Adam and Eve were probably created perfect.
Yeah,
I really do. But he gave them the choice.
The choice.
And their choice led them to fall.
Right, no longer do they have that glory because that is representative of God.
Right.
Okay, let's bring this back around. How does what you're thinking about, Lance, tie into the kingdoms and the 144,000 that we're talking about? Because
I was just interested in that this body was destroyed before it was given to the
first. We got to remember the cult he came out of.
Yeah, and I understand that, but
let's move on.
Just trying to think about the whole body here because
So let's go back to Daniel 9 and let's try to put this in perspective somewhere. So when our
Daniel 7:9.
So what thrones were cast down? Right. We know when that is, right? The day of the Lord. And it's going. If you notice the second coming, you always notice that there's a fire coming with that, right? Verse 10: a fiery stream came forth before him, 10,000s. So that we know this is Jude. This is Peter. And so there you go. The judgment
with wheel within a wheel.
Right? So you have verse 10 there. You have judgment set, and the books were open. Mm-hmm. Well, the books are open at the not only at the great red throne, but the books are open also at his coming because he's going to judge people. Daniel says everyone not written in the book about the second coming will be resurrected unto damnation. Right. So the books are there. Here's the judgment seat of Christ. I could put that at the second coming. So now I'm two for two here. The great words, verse 11, that great words in which the horn spake until the beast was slain and his body destroyed, given to the burning flame. That's Armageddon. So that's the day of the Lord. And concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, that their lives were prolonged for a season and time. So I do believe that these beasts are in hell. They're not thrown into the lake of fire, but they went into hell, so their lives are prolonged. So that could be questionable, but I saw visions, one like 13, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Well, I only know one event where Christ is coming in the clouds of heaven.
Right.
That's the second coming. And then 14, and dominion was given him, and glory, and a kingdom, and all nations, people, all nations. Revelation 21 says, the nations of the world shall come in, that are saved, shall come and worship before him. So there are going to be nations. I'm not born a Jew. I'm born Greek heritage. There are nations that are still going to be part of the eternal kingdom, even though we are the kingdom of Israel. So I could put this event where? Where would you put this?
I would put it where he's judging, and then there's
at the second coming.
Yeah.
Right? So I would put that here.
The beast and the false
prophet. Where it keeps scroll. So let's just start looking at the kingdom. Curtis mentioned it. When Jesus came, what was he preaching? The kingdom.
The kingdom. Yeah.
Kingdom's at hand. The kingdom is coming. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. So let's look at the kingdom. Matthew 13. Let's just start picking this apart. What is the kingdom? Matthew 13:11. 13:11. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So we're going to go sidetrack here. Why were the parables given?
Well, to separate two different types of people.
Right. And right?
The ones who were who knew that God and that of his kingdom.
They're for us.
Yep.
Right.
And the ones that were too intelligent to accept it by faith.
Right. So, and what's the other reason? To understand the kingdom.
To understand it, yeah.
Right? To understand the kingdom. So, first of all, I just want to say this. Would you say that, because the Bible mentions the Father's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible mentions the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God. The
kingdom of Christ.
Kingdom of Christ. And our kingdom.
Right.
Would you say these are different kingdoms, or would you say they're all the same kingdom?
Well, they're all the same.
They're all the same.
Because the dispensationalists will tell you they're different kingdoms, right?
Yes.
The kingdom of Babel say that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are two different kingdoms. But we just saw, right? Yeah. Go ahead. Amen. Go there.
Go there.
Go
there.
That's a good spot. Because while you go there, I want to show you guys some verses. What did we just read? Matthew 13:11 and Luke 8:10 are saying the exact same thing. Let me read it again. Listen to what he says in Matthew 13:11. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Here's Luke's version of that. And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead, Kevin. Now, this to me settles it, that there's clearly the same kingdom.
They're
changing.
The kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Matthew 19:23-24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. So there's kingdom of heaven. Verse 24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
So but the dispensationalists will tell you that these are two different kingdoms. See, these are all the same kingdom.
Yeah, the same
thing. Right? So turn to Ephesians, but what I'm saying is these things, Ephesians chapter 3, and I just want to quote a couple of verses here because we're going to spend a lot of time later on in these verses. There's a lot of meat here on the kingdom in Ephesians. But look at what it says in, Lance, you want to read some? 3:4-5. Ephesians 3:4-5.
Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
So if we look at these mysteries that God is talking about, that surround the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, he says in other ages they weren't known.
Mm-hmm.
They were not known in other ages. But now when Christ came, he came preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, our kingdom, Christ's kingdom. So now I can get an understanding of the kingdom because now he's going to start teaching us. And when you read the parables,
they're
all about the kingdom. Yeah. You want to understand the kingdom? Especially in the New Testament, you'll get a greater understanding, especially in the parables, of mm-hmm. what the kingdom is, where it is, when is it coming. Okay, so I like what he says here, too, because, like, remember what we said. When Christ came, he came preaching the kingdom. Well, turn to Acts chapter 2. No, Acts chapter 1. This is amazing to me. This is how much of nitwits we are, and you really need God to teach you stuff. Look at 3. Okay, Acts 1:3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the
kingdom of God. Yeah.
So, what's he teaching that? Now, he's just teaching them for 40 days. For 3.5 years, he was teaching the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Now he comes back. He appears resurrected. He's teaching them things of the kingdom. Look what they say. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Here's the key. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to
Israel?
He's teaching on the kingdom of God, and they're going, you're going to put David back on the throne?
When are we going to see the building come?
So he says to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. So, Kev, the guy over there at Lighthouse said, it's none of your business about the second coming. Hey, it says right here, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Oh, wait a minute. It is for us to know, because he says right here, but it's a conjunction, right? He's connecting verse 7 to verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Witnesses of what? The kingdom.
Yeah.
We're the ones who understand. Hey, get right. Get right. There's a kingdom coming.
Yeah.
Get right. You want to be in it. You don't want to be crushed by it.
You don't want to miss it. That's for sure.
So that here's the key. He's teaching on the kingdom. He says, well, wait a minute. You can't understand it. It's not for you to know until you receive power. And what happens in Acts 2? The early rain is poured out. And now they receive power of the Holy Spirit. And now you can understand things of the kingdom. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Remember what it says. But you shall receive, where is it? Oh, for it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. So now, 1 Thessalonians, well, let's start at 4. So we know 1 Thessalonians 4, we know what event this is, right? The rapture. The second coming, 4:13-18, right? Mm-hmm. Well, look at 5:1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need I write unto you. So by the time we get to 1 Thessalonians, you are to know.
Right.
He says, hey, I shouldn't have to write to you. You know these things. Why? Because you received the Holy Spirit, and now God has opened up the door of understanding of the kingdom to all his people. And even Paul says, I understand all mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
So where's this idea that, you know why they do this? Because of a pre-trib rapture.
Right.
That's why they do it. It could happen at any minute, and after that, then all the rest of the world is going to go.
It's a secret rapture.
Yeah? Okay. So let's look at some of these mysteries.
It's a secret rapture that all eyes are going to see it.
Yeah.
That Jesus never mentions.
All eyes are going to see it, but it's a secret.
Yeah. And there's going to be a disappearing act.
Yeah.
It's not a trumpet that's going to blow. It's some dog whistle that only saints can hear.
High pitch.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? It just makes no sense at all, and yet they keep hanging on it.
Well,
in the Lord's birth, as thy kingdom come.
That's right.
Yeah.
What kingdom? Is it coming or not? Right?
Well, I think of the two men walking to Emmaus.
Yeah.
Jesus had to explain.
Yes.
They didn't get it. They were still stuck on the earthly kingdom, right?
And those were his disciples, so they knew all the teachings.
Yeah.
Right?
But he spent that whole time, those hours, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how long it was.
It's right. It
15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, it's a long walk. It's not a car drive.
It definitely was a Sunday school.
Yeah.
The mystery is a secret not yet revealed.
That's right, so yet it is revealed.
Right, it's not... It's not revealed yet.
That's right.
It's not that it's a secret forever. It's that it's a secret waiting to be revealed.
That's right. Deuteronomy says the secret things belong to the Lord, but he reveals it to the sons of men.
But in the first parable that we talked about, it is given unto you to know the mystery.
Right? Yeah.
We can know the mystery through the combining of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the things that are not yet seen and the things that are seen, brings to the reality the kingdom.
That's right.
You can't.
It's a kingdom that's not seen, but it's as real, is more real than anything that we can tangibly feel and know.
It'll be more real when this world is done away with.
Yeah, well, when the veil is rolled back and we see things as they really are.
Right. So let's look at some of these mysteries, and then we'll get to the kingdom stuff. So 1 Corinthians, Kevin, 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 11.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, not. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Keep going.
Well, I tell you what, would you mind reading that again and add with it verse 5?
Yeah, go 6, go 5 to 11.
Go to 11. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
That's good.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Amen.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God.
So, there you go. These things are the hidden things, mm-hmm. are the mysteries, are the secrets. And they were revealed to us, not by us being so smart,
no.
but you have to have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
This is fascinating to me. It took me 13 years to get through 12 years of school. And that would be considered a nitwit, scholastically. But God has revealed the hidden things to me and given me a wisdom, right? He's given us, the foolish of the world, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit.
And the wisdom of God
That's
is
right.
wiser than all the
That's
wisdom
right.
of man.
This isn't patting yourself on the back, but I'm smarter than Bill Gates. Because he has the wisdom of this world.
Yeah.
I'm smarter than Albert Einstein. Mm-hmm. Because they have the wisdom of this world.
Right.
But I have God's grace on a nitwit like me that he would put his Holy Ghost in me and I could understand deeper things.
Right.
Spiritual.
You may not know how to use silent letters.
Yeah.
You might not know how to do calculus, or you look at it and say, gee, I'm a tree.
Yep.
Or any of those deep math things, right?
But when I look around and I see men saying they can get pregnant, I say, this is foolish. Mm-hmm. When they say, well, you need to get a vaccine for you to be healthy, I never contemplated it. I'm not going to do it. This is God working in you. You are of nothing. This is God working and revealing these things to you by his Spirit.
Which means it's not you that's smarter. It's
right.
It's God that's in you.
That's right.
Well, where is in Hebrews that the Word of God, when the Spirit moved over holy men?
That's right. They wrote,
right? Uh-huh. It wasn't out of their own ability to write. But the Spirit of God moved over
there.
That's right. When the temple and the tabernacle in the wilderness was being built, God anointed a certain guy. I read his name. I cannot pronounce it, so I just call him the guy who made stuff. But God gave him a special anointing to metal urgency, build things out of metal. Right? He didn't have it before. God gave it to him, and all of a sudden, He had all of this idea how I can take this metal and that metal, build it together. I can make the light, the candle, Albra, that's there, out of one solid hunk of gold that's hollow that goes down and feeds itself.
Yeah.
He didn't have that the day before, but he woke up with it the next day.
That's right, on how to make
on
it.
On how to make
by
it.
By the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit. God right. moved on him and put it in his heart.
So that's why I say this matches Acts chapter 10. You're not going to understand these things, disciples, mm-hmm. until you receive power from on
right.
high. There
Absolutely.
It is, verse 10. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And I think that's what's happening here. We are searching deep things of God. We have come off the milk that most of the churches we've been attending have been feeding us for 30, 40 years. And we said, we want meat now. And sometimes that meat causes, you know...
Yeah. Digestive problems.
Well, yeah, because we haven't searched them before.
Right.
Right?
You know?
So, I mean, but what is this mystery here? What God has prepared for us? A wonderful celestial beauty, celestial bliss, where is it, eight, which the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For them, verse 9, for them that love him. So this glory is going to come upon us. Mm-hmm. This is what God has prepared for us. A better kingdom, a right. better world than this. A better life
yeah.
than, you know, breaking down with Parkinson's. Right? Mm-hmm. Breaking down.
Yeah.
A better life than this. This is the thing that causes us to reach unto a mighty God
yeah.
and say, is this how it's going to be? This isn't how it's going to be, right?
Praise God, this isn't as good as it gets.
That's better.
Yes, much.
So
way much.
This to me, I know you guys find it's hard to believe, but it's very easy for me to cry all of a sudden when I read my Bible.
Yeah.
What he has prepared, so here's a mystery. What God has prepared for them that love him.
Right.
He has prepared something for us that love him. That breaks my heart that he loves us.
You can
much.
Only receive it by faith.
That's right.
You cannot figure it out, you know, and trying to say, well, this I'm going to mentally wrap my mind around this. I'm going to come up with all the answers and I'll be satisfied. Well, when you think you have all the answers, guess what comes up? Another question.
Yeah.
You'll never have it all.
And we never will.
Never will.
And when we've been there 10,000 years,
right.
millions and millions of years, he's still God. I'm
yeah.
still his child.
Yeah.
I will never attain to him. Right?
Yep.
But we will be made perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I say it all the time, Lance, but I'm sick of myself. I really am. I'm sick of myself. And I'm tired of me. I want to put on the new man. I know he's on the inside. I know he dwells within
right.
me. But I want that new man where well, that day I will keep the commandments.
Yeah. Well, what you're saying is I can't wait till this man of sin dies.
Yeah.
That this flesh, this mortal puts on immortality. This unrighteousness puts on righteous. Now, I have righteousness in me because of what Christ has put in me. But it has not bloomed. It hasn't blossomed.
That's right.
And it will not until the shell dies.
That's right.
Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains in itself.
That's right.
But if it dies, it produces much fruit.
And the first fruit is the lump is holy.
And then the whole.
That's right.
Is whole.
See, that's another thing that I don't understand because it's like you have the fleshly body, right? So we have to struggle with that all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the angels that... What do they have? They have some kind of sinful body.
No, they were made perfect.
So they
were made.
They just decide one day to sin and
yeah.
follow Satan.
Yep.
Without
there was a...
having any sin in them. That's
well, they're given choice too. Except they're
yeah.
not redeemable, right? He's not a God, Lance. He's not a God of mercy, grace, love. If he's controlling everything. Right? He has to give the angels and mankind choice.
Right.
He has to.
But he does give mankind mercy because we do
That's
struggle
true.
With
yep.
the imperfect flesh.
Well,
the angels didn't. And
well, one thing different between angels and man is the angels beheld the glory of
That's
God
right.
all the time.
That's right.
Right? They went right into the throne and they worshiped him holy, holy,
that's
holy.
Right.
So their choice is
right?
Found because they had a clear understanding. Of
they were created on day four, right?
Yeah.
So they saw the creation of God. They saw his glory, right?
His power, his
that's
might.
That's right. And then when man was created on day six, some of them seemed to have a problem with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So the choice was made then, I believe then, on day six.
Yeah.
Where a third said we're going to follow Lucifer in a rebellion, they're not redeemable. They've made their choice, they're not redeemable.
And look at the differences, all right? They are light, and we are dirt.
Right.
Right? They were made, they are instruments of illumination. I don't know what they look like in their natural form. I know that they can't take on the form of man. But in their holy gloriness, I don't know what it is. I do know that I was made out of dirt. And if something that's holy and filled with the power and the might and the majesty and the full wisdom and knowledge of God says that this dirtball is going to rule over me someday, not doing it.
But and he
you
says
know,
that.
And
he
right.
said that we are made a little lower
than the
angels, but then at some point we'll be above them.
Right?
They don't like that.
Well, we're a vessel that can contain God. So that is
absolutely
dirt.
Right.
There's something special there that God
oh, well,
did,
yeah,
so.
God breathed into us. We became a living soul. Go ahead.
Well, you have to remember also, back in verse 8,
mm-hmm.
had they known that they were going to lose, they had never left God.
Amen.
They
that's
thought
right.
they were going to win.
Yeah.
We're going
yeah.
with Lucifer because we
yeah.
will be
that's right.
higher than God.
Yeah. Because Louis plays a really good horn.
And then Christ went to the bowels of the earth and said, here I am.
That's right. Proclaim victory, let captivity captive. And he proclaimed victory to those that are in the pit of hell.
I don't understand why they think they would win.
Well, until you die,
so how do you think that the United States is going to beat Russia one day?
Yeah.
They had a clear understanding of how powerful
right.
God is. Like that
choice
that doesn't make sense to me.
Choice.
Yeah,
choice.
Yeah.
They had a choice. And they chose wrong.
That's right.
You know? Well, they went to the shiny, the sparkly thing.
Well, if you had eternity,
yeah.
right,
mm-hmm.
and then you had a choice to do something that you couldn't do, you know, for eternity, that's what they chose.
Well, Adam and Eve
I think
had
they
a
didn't
choice,
know
too, and they chose wrong, but the difference is Adam and Eve are redeemable.
They were deceived, too.
Right.
And well, so were the angels. Lucifer
right.
was going about
yeah.
it with a tail
yes.
there, so
yeah.
he
mm-hmm.
worked it up. He worked up this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a politician.
That's why they want to change Revelation.
Yeah,
that's
right.
why they want to
yeah.
inherit the earth.
Yeah,
right.
that's
they're
right.
Fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And it says that deceiving and being
deceived.
So
yeah.
they're never beyond deception.
Right.
Right? They're always being deceived with all deceivableness. It means that they're always, that they're hanging on to this, like Gayla said, this victory that God thinks is allowing them to think they're going to get that they will never get. Like I've said before, they might know the Bible better than every single one of us
right.
here. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe it. Okay, another one. Another mystery here, Gayla. Colossians.
Well, you had something.
I just, also doing the comparison right. in the description of Lucifer and Christ. Christ came and he was uncomely that none would come to him.
Right.
Right.
And Lucifer was
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People go by eye.
They
yeah.
do. Yes. Lust of the eye.
Yeah.
The sparkle thing. I want sparkly, shiny.
Gayla, Colossians 1, 25 to 29. So here's another mystery.
Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
So what? There you go. What is this other mystery here of the kingdom? Christ in you.
Right.
They never under, he says that right here. He says they didn't understand that in the Old Testament.
Right.
They didn't understand Christ dwelling in you.
And, well, the difference is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The way, and when I mean dispensation, I'm not talking about a time, but the pouring out of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
In the Old Testament, before Jesus goes to glory, because he says, unless I go to the glory, unless I go to the Father, the Comforter will not come to you. But I go to the Father that he might come to you, right? John chapter 14. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and he would anoint a person or a group of people for a set block of time to do a set block of work. And then he would leave, right? The indwelling Spirit of God only happened to a very few select, scarce people throughout the Old Testament.
But, and that's what we're saying, that these things were hidden.
Right.
Not that they didn't exist in the Old Testament, but you couldn't understand them
right.
in the Old Testament. But now, Christ in you, not only Christ in you, but the glory of Christ in you.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus say? If you abide in me,
I'll word.
Abide in you. Yeah. If you abide in me, he's abiding in me. He's mm-hmm. in me. And we know this because we have received him. I know I'm not the same person that I used to be because he's in me. I don't know how that works,
yeah.
but he's in me.
Well, I don't know. You know, God, Christ in God, and we're in Christ. And they're in the throne, in the seat or the throne of God.
You know, the Old Testament constantly says, I will be their God, they will be my people. I will dwell mm-hmm. in them.
In them.
And they will dwell with me. So this idea... You could read this all day long in the Old Testament, not understand it until Christ comes,
mm-hmm.
and now he dwells within you. You can't be saved without Jesus Christ.
You can't understand Jesus.
Any other religious leader is out the door. Jesus yeah. Christ, exclusivity, right? Him alone, and him only can people get saved by. Go ahead, Bud.
So it sounds like God gave the angels like the opportunity to exercise faith. It seems like... You know, he gave them a choice.
I don't even know if they needed faith because they had sight.
You're just going to keep right. changing this angel thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had sight, right?
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
have sight. We have faith.
Right.
That's they
right.
were in the presence of the Most High God.
That's right.
If they had sight, then how could they be deceived?
They choice.
They made a choice.
It's a choice.
Game choice.
But God gave them the opportunity to... exercise like their stand. Their
game choice.
That's why I don't.
Well, how many times have we seen two things, we chose one of them and it was wrong?
Right.
Right?
They're no different.
They're no
different. Yeah,
God,
the difference was that.
To
mm-hmm.
exercise
but we are just as well aware of the kingdom as they were.
Right.
We are just as aware of the glorious celestial place, this perfect place, as they were. But yet we still make wrong choices.
Oh,
so did they.
They had the word.
And
yes.
They had
they
the word.
Had Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's right.
They have no excuse.
They right. have no excuse. They
and it's mind boggling.
That's right.
They have no
excuse. Well, faith is the evidence of
things
not
seen.
Yeah.
So faith is sight.
Right.
That the angelic host saw
yes.
the Lord. That's why
right.
their judgment is done.
That's
yeah,
right.
Walk in the
that's right.
kingdom
yeah.
of God.
Yeah,
that's good.
And again, this word that we're talking about can only be received by the Spirit of God. If you have not the Spirit of God, you will not understand, even, it won't be illuminated to you.
Don't forget, some of their fall is looking at human women and loving them. That's a choice. And they left their first estate so they can mingle with them.
Yeah.
It's where their resolve is. It's where their stand is, you know. So
he's not Lance. He's not a God if he doesn't give everything he created choice. He's not God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Romans 16, Dave 25:26.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, and now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, being known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
So what's this mystery? The obedience of faith,
mm-hmm.
right? according to the revelation of the mystery of Christ. So, and they didn't understand. And it says once again here that that which was kept secret since the world began. And like you said, Lance, a secret does not mean it doesn't exist. It's a secret mm-hmm. that God is holding that he now is revealing. He's revealing it now in these last days. We're in the last days when Christ came. And he's revealing these things to us now to draw a people that are peculiar, right? That are different than the rest of the world, that are preparing for something that is more real to us than what we're seeing. Right? And as he develops you, as he keeps growing you, producing more fruit in you, you bear the fruit. Dave has more fruit today than he had last week, than he had 30 years ago. God is producing fruit by Dave's faith. We play a role, right, Kev? We play a role in this. Our faith plays a role in him producing faith in us. He produces more and more faith in you. He allows trials and temptations to come upon you to draw you into him and to not push him away. So that produces more and more faith, and the more and more I live by faith, and the more and more testing comes. You know what I notice about being saved? The more temptations, the more
Amen.
Things come at you,
yeah.
the more you're being attacked by them. But the in those things, study, the more I see victory.
Teach. Yeah.
Yeah.
The more you study, the more you teach, the more of a target you are.
Yeah.
That's why the world loves its own, right? But it hates those who know Christ.
We're the ones, when we saw what happened 3 years ago, we're the ones who saying this is spiritual.
Yeah.
Listen, oh, well, you know, bad America and bad China, they got together. And that's not what we were saying. We were saying there are devils ruling over these people, and we understand what's going on. They want to bring in a one-world government. Mm-hmm. They want to put the Antichrist on the throne, and the devils still think they can have victory over God. Yeah. And then, why would they go make war against them? It's not just the nations, it's the devils that have mm-hmm. been thrown down are right. making war against him at Armageddon. Why are they doing that unless they think they can still win? Why are they 1,000 years later want to make war with him again? They're deceived. They think they can win.
There's a different take on that also. Okay? They already know that they're going to lose. So I'm going to take as many with me as I can.
Yeah.
Okay? You look at some people who want to commit suicide. They don't want to go by themselves.
Right.
They take a few other lives with them.
Yeah.
Okay? Again, Israel. Christ walked in at the cavern and he goes, hey, your time's not come. What's this all about? Are you here just to pester us?
Right.
They already know that they're going to lose. Well, let's take as many with us because this dirt's going to rule over us.
Right. Yeah. And as much as this dirt balls, these human beings, if we get enough of them down, we still have a chance. We still got a chance. And they don't know numbers like God knows numbers. God knows. Well,
torment us before the time.
There you go. Right. Torment us before the time.
If they were deceived by Satan, these fallen angels, and then they find out later they were wrong, then why would they even fight for Satan?
You've already picked a side. Well, the truth is, what did Jesus say about a kingdom divided itself against itself?
It cannot
stand. Satan's kingdom is divided, and when you see them, they are at war with each other. They are. They are at war with each other. They're not on the same page.
And it also brings you back to Hebrews 6. If you tasted the glory of God and turned away, it's impossible
to
come back.
Right.
The door's not open to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The devil that is controlling Ukraine is there's another devil controlling Russia. And there's another devil controlling China. They're at war with each other.
Mm-hmm.
His kingdom will not stand. The kingdom that stands is the United Kingdom, and that's not America.
Or England, right?
It's the King of Christ.
He's talking about the angels themselves that are now, I don't know if they're called demons or devils.
They're devils. Okay,
you know what I mean? Like, why would they...
They're deceived.
They're deceived by Satan, and then they find out they're deceived by Satan, why would they even fight for his cause?
They're deceived.
Amen. Think of a Muslim today, right? The only way, and they're deceived, they think the only way that they can have a surety in Allah's kingdom is to kill as many infidels as they possibly can.
If they have sight, how can they not see that God is more powerful than Satan? So why would they think Satan could win?
They chose deception.
Well, actually, God gave them over to a spirit of deception.
Yeah.
All right, when they made that choice, God said, all right, believe that.
I don't know how else to put it, Lance. Choice. Choice. When you make the wrong choice, the toilet bowl keeps flushing. It keeps going down and down and down. And like Curtis just said, the God of the Muslims is not the God of the Hindus. Mm-hmm. But yet the Muslims will kill the Hindus.
Right.
And the Hindus will kill the Buddhists. They're all on the same team, but they're not on the same team because their kingdom is divided.
So is
they're
God,
all devils.
Is God the one that provides the mark of the beast then? Because it seems like the same thing's going to
happen. He allows it, but it's the Antichrist that brings the mark of the beast. It's by him. Okay, so here's the point here with this one is, it's the obedience of faith. Verse 26, the mystery and the obedience of faith. What if, you know, we're going to get into Romans, here about Israel, the mystery of Israel. God said that they didn't achieve salvation because it wasn't by faith. They tried to do it by works.
Right.
Right? It's the obedience of faith. You know, Revelation talks about the church that had its first works was more important than the latter works. You know, they go back to your first works. What were the first works?
Faith.
And then the other works were followed. They were putting works of God. You know, I'm working my way to the kingdom, right? I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I need to get this many people saved so I can get to the kingdom.
Right. The pioneer thing. I just talked to the neighbor just yesterday about that. That they had to put in 20 hours a week in pioneering, right?
That'd be auxiliary pioneering.
Yeah, exactly.
Pioneering is like full time.
Yeah,
You wake up in the morning.
That's all you do. It's like a club within the organization, right? And if you want to be higher in the club, the more time you put in.
It's the ministry work.
But it's not a ministry.
Do you think it is?
Okay, let's move on.
Again, like the angels think that they can win over the kingdom of God. They think they can.
I don't understand
that. There you go.
Well, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. Thinking of a different result. They're insane.
But it does
insane. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. With wisdom and knowledge. They have another spirit in them that says, I'll do this, I'll do that.
I'll make it work.
You know, they're beasts. Think of a beast. God calls them beasts. They're beast nature. They do just beastly things, right? They don't think about what they're doing. They just do it.
Yeah.
Right? My dog sees a squirrel. He's running for it. He's not thinking, you know.
Although he knows he can't catch it. He's never caught.
They're running by him, under him, through him, and he's still trying to catch him. It's his nature.
That delusion is a part of the mark of the beast. It's like once they have that, they won't go back.
They won't
change their mind.
We're clear.
Well, they think they're righteous.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's where they are. You know, where they think they are.
Who knows this better than these young ones? The woke, the cancel culture, they think they're righteous.
Yeah.
They think drag queens, men dressing like girls, pretending to be girls, they think that this is righteous. And God says it's not. Says it's wicked. Men lying with men. They say that's righteous. Let's celebrate them. Let's have a day just for them. Let's have a month just for them. They're celebrating their wickedness, their pride. And like you said, they think they're righteous.
They don't say righteous, but they do say like nature or natural. You know, like Satan worshippers think that is the natural
way. Well, Satanism.
And nature would be worshiping the flesh.
Satanism is attached to witchcraft. They worship nature. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Romans 11. Here's another mystery. Yeah, this one I want to chase.
You got a little girl here. Let's get up.
Go ahead, dear.
Well, they say pride falls, and then they say the Bible says pride comes before fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and there's no coincidence in that. Why they say
there is no coincidence that they use that word pride, right? And that's what the Sodom and Gomorrah, what was full of pride, right? That they, even the children were practicing this kind of behavior.
Well, when you accept something by faith, right, does that mean you completely understand it or you just accept it by faith?
Right. I understand it. Is it faith?
Hey, thank you. If you see it, does it need faith?
Right.
I understand these things that we're talking about here mostly by faith because I believe what God says. I do not understand, Lance, why angels or anybody else thinks that wrong is right.
You don't understand their decisions. You can't make
right. Amen. But I know that the scripture says that that's how they believe and that's how it's going to work out. So by faith in God's word, that's what I land on.
Okay.
I don't have to understand.
Okay. Let's chase this. Romans 11, the mystery of Israel. Romans 11:25 says, and then we're going to go through a lot of this. That's why I want to get through this. Romans 11:25 says, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Here's the key, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So we're going to go through this a little bit. Is God done with Israel?
No.
No. To make it clear, anybody listening to us on that, we do not believe in replacement theology. But we also don't believe that Israel is separate from us. We believe in grafted-in theology.
Yeah.
So Romans 11:1 says, say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
No, keep on, God hath not...
13. I want to pick it up at 13. Go ahead, Curtis. You want to read something?
It's just two. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, thank you, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, and so you have killed the prophets, right?
That's right.
But God has not turned, he will never turn away from his word, his promise he gave to Abraham.
It's a promise he gave to them.
Covenant.
That's right. The everlasting covenant. 13, for I speak to you Gentiles. Insomuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my, that are my flesh, and might save some of them. For the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, which shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, the branches, remember that, branches, and if some of the branches be broken off, remember that, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the tree. So you have trees and branches here. Does he call Israel the fig tree here?
No.
He calls them olive
tree, olives.
Right? And what is olives? Makes oil. What is oil?
The Holy Spirit.
Right? Yeah. 19, thou wilt say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. So he's going to go on and warn people, you better not boast against the branches. And I hear a lot of people boasting against the branches. Right. They call themselves Christians.
Once
and God says,
always say,
annihilate
that verse.
Look what he says. That's right.
Just the opposite. But still.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. The goodness and severity.
Yeah.
He is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment and wrath. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If, there it is, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off.
Right.
Right? And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them, them in again. Okay, so the fullness of the Gentiles is going to come in, and he's going to save Israel. When? When does... Well, let's chase it some more. I'm not going to call on you yet. Right. Hang on, let me get through this.
Because okay? That was my question.
What? When is the fullness...
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to chase the fullness of the Gentiles. Revelation, John, Revelation 11, 1 through 3. Kevin?
Where are you?
John's in Revelation 11, 1 through 3. Kevin, Luke 21, 21 to 33.
And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth.
So we have we have 42 months, we have 1,260 days until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled.
And how many years is that?
So that's 3.5 years. So now I can start to put this somewhere when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in and he rescues Israel, right? Go ahead, Kev.
All right, Luke 21 through 33, right?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Luke 21. 20 to
33. Oh, 20, okay. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Very good. Well done, Kevin. That's a lot of reading there. So I can time this. I love Luke 17, Luke 21, the Olivet Discourse. I could actually put a time here. When is Jerusalem going to be compassed about? It sounds to me like God's bringing them to Armageddon. He says they want to come to surround Jerusalem, but he's going to drag them down to the Valley of Megiddo. When? Verse 27. Verse 22. These are the days of vengeance. Woe unto them, verse 23, woe unto them there with child. The end of that says, wrath upon this people. Revelation 12 to 17 says, Satan, having been cast down, had great wrath. Right? So he's going around trying to kill the bride. Right? Do you got it there, Kev? So, were you looking at Revelation 12?
Yeah.
Do you see it there? It might be 12.
What was the first guy that was?
Wrath, the devil.
The devil has come down?
You talking about the three where there appear another wonder in heaven, behold a great red dragon?
Not that one. No.
overcome them. The great red dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil.
Yeah, that'd be verse 9. And that great dragon cast out the old serpent, right?
Yeah, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceived the whole world, who was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
There it is, 12, verse 12.
Oh, verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. The devil's come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
So there you go. I mean, wrath on days of vengeance, his wrath is going to be on these people. When? I could put this at the end. I mean, men's hearts failing for fear. The heavens shall be shaken. God said he's going to shake the heavens, not only the earth, but the heavens on the day of the Lord. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming. There it is, the Son of Man. Therefore, lift up your heads. When you see these things take place, then lift up your head. And what is drawing nigh? The kingdom. I'm told that the kingdom is coming. Not some temporary kingdom, some refurbished earth. I'm told that he's coming with his kingdom. Right? And then verse 32 says that the generation is going to pass away. But his words will never pass away. So, where would I put this event? The saving of Israel, the gathering of Jews and Gentiles together, where would I put this? Would you put it here, 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 or there? To me, it's clear. No?
No, it's not no, but we need to take some a breath and look at the good thing here. Because in 34 it says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. This is Luke 21:13. With surfer, you say the word, and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall come upon all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So understand that these things are going to happen, is going to come just like the Bible says, but we need to be so grounded in the Word of God. Our focus needs to be so much on the kingdom of God, having faith, because when we see these things coming upon the earth, it will shake the church to its very core. Because of the false teaching of dispensationalism, right? We need to be, don't allow the partying of the moment, the drunkenness, the fear of the things that are coming. Don't let it shake you.
That's right.
Right? Don't let these things shake you. We're talking about a lot of stuff here that if we only look on that side of it, we may miss the glory of it, where the church needs to stand. In the midst of these coming up 3.5 years.
Well, and here's my point with teaching these things.
Yeah.
If we believe we're living in those times.
Amen.
Yeah. We're the ones with the answers. And what I notice about the people that question what we believe, they keep throwing stuff at you. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? And I have to provide answers for what the questions they throw to you. When they say to us, well, the day of the Lord is the whole 7-year period. By our studies, I can show you that it is a day, the day of the Lord, a 24-hour day. So it's actually preparing things for if these things do start to happen in our lifetime, they are going. I'm telling you right now, it's not ours.
Happen quicker and quicker. Yeah.
It's
John,
in theirs.
Yeah, John.
It's in theirs.
Deanna, she's going to see these things.
So I just want to, let me complete this with Israel and the Gentiles. See, what they'll tell you, Deanna, is they'll tell you that, well, God is going to save the Gentiles first. We're going to get caught up to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be given rewards, Kevin, for how great a saint you were. And then the Jews are going to go through the 7-year tribulation, mm-hmm. and God's going to start dealing with Israel as a nation. I'm being told it's the same event, Jew and Gentile together. So Ephesians 1.
The whole earth, right? So
every nation would include Israel,
yeah.
right? It says he's going to destroy the nations.
The whole earth means like
I think the whole earth.
It's not like these
people. The guys in the space station.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
You know,
yeah.
It is interesting because he does say things that though ascend up into the heavens, I will bring thee down to the pit. He does say stuff like that.
Right.
And even the people in the water. Okay, so Ephesians 5, having predestined us into adoption children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved. We're grafted in to the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Throughout. Prudence means throughout, right? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness.
Right.
What does fullness mean?
Complete.
Right?
The completeness of
filled, full.
Yeah. Right.
Completeness. In the fullness of times. What did he say about the Gentiles? The fullness of times. They might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in him. Curtis?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds to me like everybody.
Yeah.
We're everyone in heaven. That would include the heavenly host,
mm-hmm.
the good angels. That would include them. 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands. In whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be a praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation, of your salvation, in whom after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which in an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto praise of his glory. Wherefore, I heard of your faith in the Lord and love unto all the saints. So you can see, I'm being told here, he's going to gather everybody, everything together on that day. So I would put this event on the day of the Lord. So there is a verse that says, so then shall all Israel be saved.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn to Galatians, turn one page over here to Galatians.
Well, that was back in Romans when it says the
Gentiles. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So
then the next verse said, and all of Israel will be saved.
That's right. So Paul Keller, Galatians 6:14-16. What does he mean by all Israel will be saved? Is Jerry Steinfeld, who never bowed the knee to Jesus Christ, is he going to be saved?
Well, not everybody who is Israel is of Israel.
That's right.
Right.
So what does it mean by all of Israel will be saved? Go ahead, Paul.
Wait a minute. Where were we going? Galatians?
Galatians 6:14-16.
But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For if Christ Jesus neither circumcision availed anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God.
So I'm saying here that the circumcision and the uncircumcision is the Israel of God. That's the real Israel, like Curtis said, the seed of Christ, right? Which we are born, you need to be born again to be part of this kingdom of God. So I think there's pretty good evidence here. I thought this was a pretty good study. There's one more, Hebrews 11, obviously the faith, the Hebrews, what's it called?
It is 11:55
okay.
is what it's called.
All right, so I think that's good enough. But what you see in here is one gathering, there's a kingdom coming, there's mysteries of the kingdom that are being revealed to us, and I think it's a good thing that we chase it and we study it.
Amen.
Right? You want to pray?
Lord, we thank you for bringing us together today safely, and we thank you for your word and having brothers and sisters to share your word with and the joy, peace, and comfort that comes from that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Well done.